Good evening, everyone.
Love Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Good evening, everyone, and as always, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening. Our guest is already in the house with us. Les Trent is who is joining us tonight on At Home with Victoria. He is actually currently, I think, leaving a story up in Albany, New York. So we're going to go ahead and just start the conversation off. Many of you have, I'm sure you have seen Les on television. He is a senior correspondent for Inside Edition. So I'm just excited that he had the time to be with us tonight. Les, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, Victoria, my pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We kind of got, you know how the broadcasting business is. We got off to a little rough start with the switchboard, and then all of a sudden, magically, things happen. So you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Technical difficulties, part of the job.
Yes, I know. Listen, I just want to say, as one journalist to another, I've seen you myself a few times at the National Association of Black Journalists, but never got a chance to say hello. I'm one of these people that watch you on television because I like your style and your delivery
on
Inside Edition. So I just wanted to get that out there first. So I was thrilled and excited when you accepted my friendship on Facebook. And I'm kind of going through this phase of my career where I just kind of feel like the older I get and the more I do this, that there are people within the industry that I just feel like need to be featured and highlighted, not so much because I like them, but I just think that they do a great job. And actually, you are the first of that category to be on tonight, so that's kind of special
Victoria,
for me.
You are too kind. I'm just going to sit here and let you continue talking. Go ahead.
But no. Now I'm actually going to let you talk. So before we get into all the industry stuff, congratulations on the broadcast, the Hall of Fame. What was that like for you?
You know what? It was a great thrill because I started my career in Buffalo. I actually grew up in Canada. My mother was Canadian. My father was American. But I was lucky because I lived in a border town right across the bridge from Buffalo. So when I graduated, I actually started my career. I was working in Buffalo at a radio station. I was simultaneously working at a newspaper in Canada. And so it was nice to get the award because, really, when I think about my roots in the business, they really are in Buffalo. I started in radio there, then I got into television as a producer, and then I was a reporter and weekend anchor in Buffalo as well.
Well, that's wonderful. I was excited to see that, and I just knew that you were excited about that as well, because it's, you know, it's kind of cool when your peers and people within the industry kind of give you the nod and say, hey, you know, I think you're really doing a good job. But I wanted to talk about sort of different changes that you have seen in the industry from where you started. Of course, I know social networking and all of that stuff. But talk about, you know, some of the things that changes that you have seen yourself.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because I ran into I was covering the New Hampshire primaries last week, a week and a half ago, and I ran into a cameraman I worked with back in Buffalo, you know, many years ago, and we were just sort of reminiscing about the old days and talking about how the business had changed. By the way, as I'm speaking to you right now, we're actually driving back, my camera crew and I, from a shoot in Albany. So if you hear some background noise, we're stopping right now to get gas. So that's the glamorous life of a national correspondent, just so you know. So I was talking to this guy I used to work with, and we were just talking about how really 20, 25 years ago, we had so many more resources available, and I think that we took news a little more seriously than some of the local news that I see today. But I'm not saying that they don't do a good job. I just mean that when you got a job as an on-air reporter back in the day, you really had to know your stuff, and you were called upon to cover some pretty hard-hitting stuff. I mean, I remember covering court cases and sitting in those courtrooms and feeling completely overwhelmed, listening to testimony, knowing that in an hour I had to go outside and I had to write a story and I had to do a live shot. And I'm just not sure that the reporters today who are coming up are getting the opportunity to own up on those skills only because they're being asked to do so much. You know, you go to a market as big as San Francisco now, which is, number five, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even in San Francisco, reporters are now required to shoot their own video. Well, I mean, I certainly could not have started off in this business shooting my own video and also reporting. It's just too much. Yeah, it's too much to think about the technical end of things and also to be to try to be a good journalist. So I think that we have more resources available back then.
And I have to agree with you, but what's interesting in the industry, and for industry talk, everyone, that's generally something that we call a one-man band, and that's when you get to play reporter, you get to play editor, and you get to play videographer, where you've got to do all those things. So that means, you know, not only are you the reporter out there on the scene, but you've got to physically take the camera and shoot your story, then you've got to write your story, and you've got to get back to editing to get the story done. And then after all of that, you present it on the news for what you guys see on whether it's the 5, 6, or 7 or whatever newscast it has to be. But what's interesting is that I notice a lot of television stations within the last at least 4 or 5 years are getting back to those one-man bands.
Yes, they are. I mean, it is expanding across the country. And I don't know. I don't know that I would have learned as much if I were just starting out today that I did back when I did start in the 1980s. You know, it's a whole different animal.
Now, something, too, that I was thinking about when as you were talking about things that were changing, I remember when I started, and I started with Ted Koppel. I was in college and had the opportunity to do an internship with him. And I remember literally... Yeah, and I remember during that time, if you guys probably remember the Tiananmen Square. I was one of the people that had to do a lot of research on that, and I remember generally sweating bullets and having knots in my stomach because I wanted to make sure that I got the information that he needed because it was sort of like a one-hour special that ABC, the Nightline, was going to be doing. So to me, that was like a huge responsibility. So the thought and the thought that I wasn't going to deliver, I mean, it scared me to death. But I was using that illustration to say that in newsrooms across America, I don't think, honestly, young people have that knot in the stomach like you and I probably had back in the day.
No, I think you're probably right. You know, and I don't want to disparage the young kids, as I call them, but when an intern will say to me that they want to start their career anchoring the news in New York City, you have to laugh because really when you talk about paying your dues, especially in television, you really are talking about going to, you know, to those small towns and where you are doing everything. That was one of the things that taught me a lot was starting in Buffalo I was a weekend anchor, which really meant that I had to make sure that we had all the stories that we needed shot for the show, and I had to stack the show, and I had to write the show. I had to back time it to make sure it came up to 30 minutes exactly. And, you know, when you're a lone soldier doing something like that, it teaches you a lot, and it's the best training ground for any journalist because even when I became an on-air reporter, you know, there was nothing that could be thrown at me that I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes that I couldn't figure out how to make it work only because I had done it.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on that because, of course, you talked about, and for many of you who are listening who don't kind of know sort of the structure of television news, like Les said, basically when you first start, meaning you get out of college, you know, hopefully by then you may have already done an internship at a local TV station wherever you happen to be based. And, you know, you start off in small markets. Small markets are a little bit more forgiving. You know, you get to learn how to produce and do a lot of different things. And that's really where you kind of pay your dues and mess up. And, you know, but the idea of someone saying, I want to start off in New York, that just basically says to me, you have no idea what you're talking about. That's just, that's craziness. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, another thing about starting off in a small market is that you are given opportunities that you never get in the big market. I put my demo tape together simply by hanging out with reporters. I would go out with them. I would watch how they did their jobs. I would watch them as they came back and looked at the tape and wrote a story. And I remember how incredibly overwhelming it was that someone would come back with 45 minutes worth of tape and have to whittle it down to a minute and 30 story, and they literally have 2 hours to do it. And it really is a talent that you have to, that you only learn that talent from observing someone else doing it and then doing it yourself. And it's not easy, and it takes a long time, and it takes a long time especially to get good, you know, to get to the point where, you know, after you've done it a while, what happens is you could sit there and do a two-hour interview, and you hear in your head the sound bites that you want to use in your story. And for those who don't know what a sound bite is, I'm sure you do, a sound bite is simply a snippet of that interview that you're going to use inside of your edited story. And, you know, for every 10 minutes of video that you shoot, you probably have one, maybe two, perhaps three sound bites that you're going to use in your story. And so when you're sitting there listening to somebody during an interview, you really do have to develop the skill of knowing what is a usable sound bite for your story. And when you do learn that skill, it makes your job that much easier, only because, again, I remember starting out and just coming back with these tapes and being overwhelmed and not knowing where to start.
I know, and it's funny when you say that, because you completely just brought back memories for me, because, you know, when you're really new at it, at least for me, I didn't know that, you know, as I'm sitting there doing the interviews, that a part of that should be that I should be listening for my sound bites and already sort of in my head developing the story, because, you know, you really need that structure in your head before you get back to the newsroom and to follow along in terms of the tapes and, you know, what sound bites you want to use. Was it the first 5 minutes in the tape? Was it in the middle of the tape? Was it at the end of the tape? Because all of that is really, really critical because, you know, keep in mind, everyone, you know, you're under a deadline because, you know, when 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock gets there, you know, Les has got to have that story done, tracked, in the booth, out, and he's got to look presentable to come on television. So, you know, so even having that little pressure there, yeah, I mean, it is very much a skill, and you're right, that you've got to develop to learn and to be able to kind of turn it all around. But something that was interesting that that what you guys do on Inside Edition, that I felt, I want to say probably I was thinking this less about at least 9 or 10 years ago. I remember one day I was inside the newsroom, and if you know what I'm about to say is true. When you get in a newsroom in the television industry, you kind of sit down with the producers and the news directors and whoever needs to be there, and you discuss what stories you're going to cover. And I remember one day sitting in there, and I remember, like, sometimes it gets heated, you know, in those discussions.
Oh, sure.
Because people don't want to cover this, or somebody may think this is frivolous, or this is just not simply important. And sometimes people's personal feelings can get involved in that. And I remember thinking to myself, one of these days on television, all this energy that I see that reporters use in these meetings or producers use in these meetings, I just saw that that was going to be the way of the future for television. Because at that time, I felt like the entertainment shows were really taking off and people were more interested in watching like an Inside Edition or Entertainment Tonight than they were their own local newscast, because they just kind of thought it was boring. So when all this sort of explosion of this sort of what I call entertainment journalism started, I wasn't surprised to see that, because I think the industry kind of had to change with the times. And there's still a lot of people who don't believe that, and unfortunately they are going to be held back, because with social networking and this sort of explosion of what's going on in shows like the show that you're on, you know, local television stations, you know, just aren't thriving the way that they are. And I know for a fact there are numbers out there to support that, because I kind of follow that stuff myself.
Right. Now, I couldn't agree with you more, because I really had sort of the same trajectory. After I left Buffalo, I went to San Francisco. I was there for 3 years. I ran the Oakland Bureau of KPIX, which was a CBS affiliate. And I sort of had that same epiphany. One day I was sent to cover a story that we had seen actually on Inside Edition the night before. It had something to do with Kenny Rogers, and I don't know if you remember, but there was some whole sex tape thing involving one of the models The Price is Right, and I looked at the story, and Inside Edition did this amazing story on it, and they sent me out because Kenny Rogers was in town to try to do some sort of story on it. And of course we got nothing because Kenny wasn't talking about it, and the only thing we did was talk to some fans. And I just remember thinking about the production value of the story I had seen compared to the story that we had to piece together to put on the air. And so I said, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'd rather do that story. And so I didn't go directly to Inside Edition. I went to a sister show that they had produced for 5 years before it was canceled. It was called American Journal. And they hired me when I was working in San Francisco for this show. When I got there, we were doing 6 and 7 minute stories. So I would go on the road. Now I go on the road for maybe a day at a time. But back then I would go on the road for 3 or 4 days, and I would come back with 10 or 11 tapes, and it would take me a day to screen my tapes, and it would take me a day to write my tapes, and it would take me a whole night to edit. And, you know, that simply doesn't exist anymore. But the point you were making about these stories and how sort of different they were from local news and how they had, in many cases, that entertainment angle, that really was, after many years of being in local news, what lured me to American Journal and then on to Inside Edition.
But I will say this too, Victoria.
You have to know this, Victoria, that as much as you say that the local news is going to have to catch up, things are going to have to change, there is a new change that is happening, and that is that local news has been on the uptick in the past couple of months. It went through a downtime, as you know, in the past couple of years, and I'm sure you know many people who are on the beach, as we say, people who are out of work, and it went through a really tough time, and it's still tough, and they're still asking people to do more with less. But there are jobs that are happening out there in local news, and newscasts, stations are expanding their news. You know, where in the past they might have had a one-hour newscast in the morning, now they're acting like NBC and they're going with 2 hours.
Yeah.
And where there was once a simple 5, 6, and 11 o'clock newscast, you now have 4 o'clock newscasts, especially after Oprah left. There were a lot of stations who thought that Oprah leaving would be the death knell for them, but what they chose to do, and in many cases it was quite successful, is they chose to expand their news in the afternoon.
Yeah, no, you're right, and it's funny that you mentioned that because I was literally just talking about that same thing a couple of days ago, because down in the resort town where I stay, the CBS station actually took that opportunity, and at 4 o'clock, instead of putting, another show from a network or something, a network show, they actually started their own 4 o'clock show. And it kind of reminds me of the sort of NBC, the morning shows where they have talk and an audience. So, no, you are absolutely right about that. Les, I want to go to the chat room because as we speak, we have lots of folks inside the chat room, and they have been prepping me to ask you a few questions. So I'm going to go up and try to get some questions. I know Sandy had a question and Don had a question. And one question that Sandy asked is, did you ever do a story that put yourself in danger?
Well, you know, you never think about that while you're shooting it, but I'm sure that there have been many, many stories I've shot where I should have really stopped to think about, you know, the situation I was in. And as you know, Victoria, when you're out there doing your thing, it's really about shooting the story. And I think a lot of times, you think about the danger after you've finished shooting. But I remember when I was covering stories in San Francisco, there were certainly incidents where afterwards I said, that was really dumb. Covering a chemical spill, for instance, and they're evacuating people, and when you see people leaving, you're coming in. And I covered so many horrendous murders in the East Bay of San Francisco, in Oakland. I covered one story where a family moved into a neighborhood, and they were calling the police about drug activity that was happening in this neighborhood. And so one night, a bunch of guys in the neighborhood came to the house with AK-47s, and they shot up that house with about 60 bullets. Luckily, no one was hit. But what was really frightening about this story is that after shooting up this house 60 times, nobody called the police.
Wow.
So imagine us out there covering that story, and my assignment desk goes, yeah, can we do a live shot tonight? That was one of the things. Well, we said, no, we're not going to do a live shot out here tonight.
That's funny. You're like, no, I don't think that's possible.
I covered another story. I was in Montserrat, which I believe the British Virgin Island. It's a British island, and we were covering the volcano down there. And it was one of those things where we did everything we could to get onto the island because they were evacuating the island. And then when it came time for us to leave, we hadn't arrived. And so we just piggybacked off of an ABC helicopter. That's how we got off of the island. But, you know, when you're going to shoot a story, you rarely think about anything other than getting the story. Details like getting home, that's secondary.
Right. Yeah, basically you're thinking about getting the story. Not only that, you're thinking about what the story is going to be, getting back to wherever you need to be to do the live shot, and then you'll probably get a call from an executive producer or somebody saying, hey, can you write me a tease and pull some video for me? So, you've got a million things inside your head that you're actually thinking of. Now, there's also another question, and you sort of touched on this a little bit. People want to know, are you covering any of the Republican debates and all that that's going on?
Well, we don't cover the debates per se, only because the network's covering. And one of the things about our show, we're a news magazine, and so our stories have to look different. It's very tough for us to cover politics unless we can get behind the scenes. So during the last election cycle, I was covering Hillary, and the only reason it worked for us is because Hillary gave us a lot of access. And for us, access is things, you know, even if I get behind the scenes with Hillary for 5 minutes, either before or after she takes the stage, or the very first time Bill Clinton came on the road with her, we interviewed both Bill and Hillary after they got off stage. And what makes that story different from what you see on the nightly news is that it's not just Bill and Hillary on stage, which you can see anywhere. We try to get a look behind the scene. So in this election cycle, again, our coverage has been limited to what sort of access we get. I covered one of the debates, and it was the debate where Governor Perry had his oops moment. So it was lucky for us that we were there for that, but the reason we went there was because of Herman Cain and all of the accusations against him.
Right.
And so he was someone, when we went to cover this debate, who I tried to get a one-on-one with because that was the only way my story was going to work. And luckily we got him as he was sneaking out a back door. And then I covered the New Hampshire primaries. And again, looking for a different kind of angle, we decided to do a story on the candidates' children who are out there campaigning for them. In particular, John Huntsman has these three daughters who are all very attractive, and they're sort of flirtatious, they're an interesting story only because they are these Mormon girls who grew up in this conservative household and are probably clearly conservative themselves, but we've got to see this different fun side of them. So it was an interesting story to hang out with them, and it's the only thing that made, on that particular day anyway, the story interesting for us. Because
I remember that story about his children. and you doing that story. Now, what's interesting about that is I remember after you doing the story, then I felt like a lot of other national news stations and reporters started doing
same
story too. So, I remember thinking, man, I remember Les did that, and it just kind of seemed like the next couple of days there was an explosion of people wanting to do stories on his daughters. I mean, largely, as you said, they are very, very, you know, attractive and Mormons into kind of go around and campaign for their dad. So I would definitely say that's an example where you sort of definitely led the way and then others came to follow. I think this is another good question. Gina, who is listening in tonight from the wonderful state of California, wants to know if you have ever met President Barack Obama, or have you ever seen him or covered anything with him?
Well, you know, I covered the Democratic National Convention, and I also covered election night. So I got to interview Oprah that night, talking about her impact on the race. And I will tell you that for months I was covering both Hillary and President Obama, then Senator Obama. And as I told you before, how you know a story for us is really getting behind the scenes and getting something. And I regret to say that then Senator Obama was the one candidate who we could not get. And it was interesting that he was so very tightly controlled. I mean, he did some fun things, if you remember. He did Saturday Night Live, and I did see him on occasion on some of the entertainment shows. But he really was not as accessible as the other candidates were. They really did have a very, very tightly controlled and so I regret that is one that we did not get. Oh boy, did I try from day one. I don't remember if it was North Carolina or South Carolina. There was a big rally, and Oprah was there, and I tried desperately, and this was very early on, to get something with him that would give us a Good News magazine story, and it just never happened.
Yeah, well. From what I'm reading inside the chat room, because as we have this conversation, there's a whole separate conversation that goes on about the guest, which, of course, today is Les Trent, who is a senior correspondent with Inside Edition. And everyone seems to be pretty in awe that you got a chance to speak to Oprah. So Oprah seems more of a big deal right now in the chat room than President Obama. So. Yeah, so I think that's wonderful. Well, listen, I know normally I kind of keep guests on for about another 10 minutes, but I don't want to keep you on longer and overdo my stay in case I want you to come back and you kept me on too long, because I know you're headed back down to New York, to the city, I guess, or somewhere down in there. Yeah, but I want to thank you so much, and just know that the work that you do certainly does not go unnoticed. And when I put on Facebook and Twitter and started, you know, kind of posting around that you were going to be here, I was very excited about everyone else being excited that I was going to have you on the show. So it's been a big deal for all of us and the people that follow At Home with Victoria that you, you know, took the time to come on tonight. So I really,
Victoria,
really, really do appreciate
it. Victoria, any time, you know, if there's any news story happening or if you see anything on our show that you want to talk about, just give me a call and I'll go on with you anytime.
I will definitely take you up on that. And Les, again, thank you so much. Continue the great work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great evening.
And thank your camera guy for allowing us to chat with you tonight. Say hi to him, too, okay?
I'm going to see them right now. Camera crew, hey, thanks for the time.
Okay.
Now they can turn on and put the music back on.
All right, bye-bye. And everyone, that was Les Trent, who was joining us. He's a senior correspondent from Inside Edition. And as you guys can tell, he's just a nice guy. I've seen him many, many times at our National Association of Black Journalists convention, but never got a chance to kind of go over there and say hi. One reason was I was very young in television news, and I didn't have the guts to go over there and say hi to him. And the other reason why was because when I tried to, there were always so many other people that were sort of, you know, talking to him. So I'm like, just forget it. So, of course, now that I have my own show, you know, I can kind of call them up and say, hey, you can come on the show and we can chat then. But I hope you guys have the opportunity, if you don't know who he is, to watch him on Inside Edition. And also add him on Facebook. I mean, he loves to, you know, to have you guys add him on Facebook. And what's cool about him on Facebook is that he's very interactive on Facebook. So, like, you'll know all the cool stories he's doing, posting pictures and all that good stuff. So find him on Facebook. If you add him on Facebook tonight, make sure you say hi and tell him that he did a great job on At Home with Victoria tonight. But with that said, Michael Kay is going to call in because we've got something that I consider to be a big announcement tonight. In fact, Michael is already here in the house, and we'll go ahead and bring him on the line. MK, did you just not love Les Trent? Isn't he a nice guy?
Well, nice guy, great voice. As he's on, I'm going ahead and clicking on his Facebook page. Not bad to look at. I mean, you have to handle that. I've seen him a few times cover a few stories. But, yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoyed, of course, I enjoy all the tales of fun stuff. But I loved how he made made reference to the importance of starting at the small market. And I think it's perfect. Because, you know, quite frankly, I have no journalism experience whatsoever. I haven't had year one. But thanks to you, my friend, I've had no experience, and you've taught me a world of good in this very small market called BTR. So it was it was really great to hear his stories and stuff. Did you watch the address last night?
You know what? I got a chance to watch, I want to say, maybe like the last 15 or 20 minutes of it. Abby got a little sick and was and you guys don't need to know all that, but she got a little sick, so I had to attend to her. So I basically had it on in the room in every single house, so I was able to kind of listen, but I didn't get a chance to focus on it as much as I wanted to. But from what I can tell from, you know, the political commentary and the pundits, you know, it seems like basically the same thing. You're going to have those who certainly support President Barack Obama and think that he's doing a good job and that he can actually do more, especially when it comes to jobs and the economy. And then you just got the folks out there who are like, I'm not going to have it, not voting for you again. We're going to go with Republicans to see what happens. But it's interesting that Newt Gingrich actually pulled it out in South Carolina. I think that was a shock to pretty much everyone. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen because right now still, you know, it seems like the battle is between Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich. So and, you know, they've definitely, both of them have been having some fighting words and really doing some cutting that I say, so to speak, of each other on the campaign trail. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't watch it last night, honestly. I knew I would catch enough of it in the after play and on CNN and on Facebook as it was coming up, kind of a thing. So it was interesting to watch. The Gabby Gifford moment was, you know, certainly touching. I think he said a lot of things that he needed to say. It was very reminiscent of a Reagan speech that went on years ago. But, yeah, I think Mitt Romney needs to get his color done. I think his roots were showing, and that needed to happen. Newt Gingrich still needs to go ahead and lose about 40 pounds before
Michael,
he goes ahead and runs for this country. But, you know,
course,
quite frankly,
Michael would see the problem with the hair and the roots and say that he needs to get that done. But, you know, I think sometimes men, and maybe you can answer this because you've got a little salt and pepper in your hair and it looks really sexy. I think, you know, when men sort of get the salt and pepper, it really does look sexy, but it depends on where it is, you know?
Well, certainly, and quite frankly, you know, men are lucky they get to go ahead and have a little bit of gray. But, you know, when you start to color it, Mr. Romney, you got to keep it up. It's every 4 to 6 weeks. It's nothing difficult. I mean, apparently he paid $3 million in taxes, so you know the man is making a little bit of money, you know, so there's no reason for him to go ahead and skip out on that kind of a thing. And quite frankly, I'm so sorry to bring it up, but, you know, the good Lord gave me eyes, and I'm looking at it thinking, like, damn, that's the only thing I can concentrate on.
Right, I know. You can't concentrate and focus on that. I'm so happy to see that we've got a lot of our regulars inside the chat room. Don is in the house. Don Quinn. My
Don
girl
Quinn.
Gina is in the house. Mike Coop, who is actually, I hear, going to make a trip to visit to see you and Steven. I'm excited about that. And Miss Sandy Sandy is in the house also.
Absolutely, yeah. Mike and Kim are going to come down this Saturday. We're going to have a little afternoon of fun, so it'll be great. And actually, Kelly Whitney is going to be down here, as also Susie Jennings. And while they're here, we're going to go ahead and tape an episode of Tales from the Crypt. So it would be nice to have a live audience. Loving the live audience lately for some reason. I don't know if you've been catching them, but
it's lots of fun. I think because it gives you energy. I mean, a live audience, I don't care if it's like, you know, what you're taping or if it's radio or anything in broadcasting or an event, you know, it brings this extra energy to it, and it just kind of, you know, makes it, I think, better. But listen, we've got, I mean, something that I consider to be a really big announcement to make. You and I have been sort of thinking about this and sort of talking about this. So many of you know that Marilyn Bennett is just absolutely a wonderful, wonderful, and the sweetest human being on earth, I swear, that in my many, many years of travels that I have ever, ever met. So Marilyn has always been in the chat room. She has always produced in the chat room, and she has never asked, you know, any questions. She just does it, and she just loves to do it. So Michael and I were kind of talking about how the show is expanding, and, you know, we kind of need a little bit of help. And I said, I really want Marilyn to take the official job as the chat room producer and a producer behind the scenes that will help Michael and that will help me, because we really need a third person. I was a little nervous asking her. So the day that you and Steve said I do, because I had all this nervous energy, I called Marilyn, and Marilyn and I talk on the phone behind the scenes every now and then just to say hi and catch up and see what's going on. And I sort of slipped it in that conversation that we had, and she was so excited. And she's like, I would love to do this. And I had not to my stomach, because I didn't know, you know, if she wanted to do it or if she didn't want to do it. So with all of that said, Marilyn Bennett is the official chat room producer for At Home with Victoria, and also a producer behind the scenes. So when Michael and I need help, you know, we get to now go and bug her, and she gets to come with us and find stories and story ideas. But, Michael, she was already kind of doing that anyway behind the scenes, but people really didn't know, right?
Well, she doesn't. You know, Mar is a lovely, lovely, modest woman who is an absolute genius with communication. And I'm so thrilled that you did that. And I couldn't applaud you more for that idea, because I've been wanting to ask Mar too, just to give me a hand, just for Steve and stuff. But her working for the show now, with not only her connections and everything, but just her demeanor, you couldn't say no to Marilyn. So, you know, quite frankly, you know, we've secured a few fantastic guests coming up, and I'm very excited to go ahead and maybe hint at a couple. But, yeah,
sure.
Just so kind, easy to work with, and the most effective woman, you know, besides ourselves, quite frankly, that can deal with our insanity and deal with last-minute stuff and always come off as a pro. Mm-hmm. So I adore the woman. She's a personal friend, and she is an esteemed colleague now. And I congrats you on the idea, Miss Boss Lady.
Yes, and thank you. And not only that, you know, what many of you, you know, may not know about Marilyn is that and Marilyn, if you'd like, you're more than welcome to call in. We'd love to chat with you on the phone, since we're talking about you, and this is kind of your moment in the sun, so to speak. But Marilyn used to actually work with the West Virginia State Police, so she's got this incredible skill as being an investigator, and she's got this incredible skill. Michael Kay has this skill, too. I got to give you that plug in terms of doing research. So Marilyn was always kind of coming up with this, you know, these ideas for the show and talking to you about it. So basically, I would say for at least about a year, you know, we never really asked, but we always put it out there, hey, if you guys have any idea, you know, let us know, whatever. But for her to continuously do this, never asked for anything, never said no, and did it because she loved it. But more importantly, I was impressed with the length of time that she's been doing this for, like, with us for a year now. That, you know, like, really, really, really just said a lot to me. I was just like, wow, obviously this lady, one, must really like us, and she actually gets you and I, because who else would, you know, take the time to do all of that? I mean, you know, considering she's got her lovely grandson, you know, she's got her husband. I mean, like, she's got stuff to do. She's got other responsibilities besides hanging out with At Home with Victoria and trying to find guests and all of that stuff. But I'm just happy that she accepted the position, because she is just so, so deserving of it.
Absolutely, and a delight to work with, might I say. I mean, diligent and resourceful, and you know what? She's anal retentive, and I really love that. I love that part in a person where, you know, the details are what happens, because that's kind of what I do. I only do it because I'm snoopy, and I like to dig around and just find out stuff. But you know, with her professional side of it's fantastic. So, yeah, congratulations.
Wait, Mike. I have got to laugh at this. I don't know if you're reading some of the comments. Gina says that Marilyn basically did a background check on her. She goes, Marilyn ran a complete DOJ background check on me before they was able to become friends. Gina, that is funny as all get out. That is so funny. But with that said, I want to just do a little clap. Let's find our clap button and just everybody
Absolutely.
Give Marilyn a clap. Here we go.
Let's give Marilyn a clap.
There you go, because she certainly deserves it. So with that said, with all the praise with Marilyn, what have the two of you sort of been coming up with behind the scenes? Because I know you've got some stuff cooking for us.
We certainly do. I'm just going to hint around at a couple. I haven't had significant dates right now, but I've had a soft commitment, and I'm not going to jinx myself, but I will mention the likes of Mr. Lou Rawls Jr. Will be joining us sooner than later, which is quite good. I've got a bunch of filmmakers. I've got Paul Brett out of California, Philip Day, and Dylan Morris. Go ahead and Google these names. Paul Bright has a new film out called Abrupt Decision, and he sent me a copy. Victoria, he autographed it and said, you know, please go ahead and tell me what you think of it. It's like, and rumor has it this will be screening at Sundance and a number of indie films coming up. Plus, once again, I want to mention we also have the Indie Soap Awards coming up on February 21st in New York City with the likes of the cast of Pretty and the cast of Anacostia, The Bay, and a lot of other ones. It's going to be a fantastic new season on At Home with Victoria, and it's largely because, I wanted to go ahead and mention, too, Tom Slack. Tom Slack is Emmy Award nominated, for Best Jazz and Producers Pick. So we're working on him to get him in right now. Everything else is going on. And kind of in talks with, kind of hinting around at a Little Miss Octavia Spencer. She was nominated for an Academy Award. And so we're just trying to find time where her schedule allows it. And producers and everybody's got to go ahead and sign papers and disclaimers. And that's the one thing I love about this level that we're hitting into is that now everything is kind of complicated and more fun, you know. You have to go through people.
Right.
And
people
it's not like I can just email
stuff,
them on
yeah.
Facebook and say, hey, you want to come on Thursday? You know, it's like now there's people involved and stuff like that. But.
Right. Well, that's what we know where we have broken through the first level. You're right. When people have to sign papers and talk to agents and they've got to fax us stuff for us to sign and discuss it, then it's kind of like, ooh, I think we've hit another level. Something that you mentioned that I want to go back to is the Indie Soap Awards, February the 24th, that will take place in New York. There's somebody special that is going with you on this trip to represent At Home with Victoria. Do tell us about that.
Absolutely. It's actually February 21st. There's a cocktail party on the 20th that me and this special guest are going to, and then we're going to go ahead and my nephew is going to come down on the 21st. We're going to cover it. I'll actually be on the red carpet again doing what I did last year. But Mr. Mike Cullop will be accompanying me on this
Yay!
Trip, which is fantastic. Yeah, so we're going to have a huge lot of fun. Colby Cole and myself and a good friend of mine, Liz, an intern actually at CBS, Vic, and all of us are going to go to the little preamble party. It's all the producers, writers, some of the guest stars, some of the special guest stars and stuff. So it's at Le Cirque. I think it's at Le Cirque, actually, between 59th and 58th or something like that. But, yeah, so that's going to be the preamble. I'll be there Monday and Tuesday night, coming back Wednesday.
Well,
but
At Home with Victoria will definitely be in the house this year, because with that many people going – to represent the show, I could not be more happier that you guys are having the opportunity to do that. And Mike, we've got like about 10 minutes, so Mike, call up if you're out there listening, call in, because I'd love to talk to you about this. But I think that's one thing that you and I talk about this many, many times before, that's so wonderful, that I love about our show, is that we have the chance to make connections and to give other people an opportunity to perhaps do something that maybe in their career they never would have thought about doing. Because the idea for me that Mike Cullip is going to New York with you to help you film and take part in the Indy Soap Awards to represent At Home with Victoria to get those interviews for us to put on our website and for people to see, that is just very, 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 just so exciting to me. It really
oh, absolutely.
Is.
And believe me, we're going to work because, you know, like last year we stayed up 24 hours and got that stuff. You know, you were talking with Les about you go ahead and you're a one-man band, except I'm a two-man band, now a three-man band. But it's
right.
One of those things where you tape, you film, you rehearse, you do your intros, your footings, and then you got to go home and scotch tape it all into a thing. And I can't go ahead and thank my nephew enough to Brad to do that nonstop. I mean, and that's the kind of energy that I love. And that's maybe I should have been in news television. Who the hell knows? I mean, I blame you for getting me excited about this.
You would have had an absolutely wonderful long career if that was the decision that you made. But what many people may not know about you was that you always wanted to be on the radio. You always wanted to be a broadcaster. So.
Yeah.
I think it was just, of course, it was just me, you know, having the intuition and seeing that in you that I, you know, snagged you as entertainment co-host for the show. So, of course, I'm just
well, and your exceptional taste in human beings and sort of like that, yeah. Okay,
I think Marilyn Bennett is supposedly calling, and Sandy is obsessed, if you guys don't know, with Marilyn's southern accent, her voice. So I think Sandy has encourage Marilyn to call in so that we can hear Marilyn Bennett talk. And Mike Cullip again, I don't know if Mike is away or if he's kind of listening or if he's even still with us, but Mike, if you want to, you can call in as well. And I want to thank Gina and Sandy for putting the number. It's 718-664-9364. But
that's
trust
right.
me, Mike Cullip and Mar Bennett definitely know the call-in number. But again, it's 718-664-9364. We especially want Marilyn Bennett to call in because today is kind of a big day where we made the official announcement with her being our chat room producer and also producer behind the scenes to help Michael Kay and myself. Michael, while we wait for Marilyn to call in, anything else you've got going on that you're kind of – you've got stewing for At Home with Victoria as if you don't already have enough with the New York trip.
Well, yeah,
up.
You know, I've got a lot of stuff stewing, and the sort of things that I'm finding out is that the more you dig and the more you get. And you know, I want to thank Steve, my partner, because you know, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have gotten Lou Rawls Jr. or Mr. Tom Slack. So I want to give a shout out to him. But I noticed Marilyn's actually on the line. So
oh yeah, let's go ahead and bring her on.
Let's bring her on.
Hello, Miss Marilyn Bennett.
Well, hello, Miss Victoria. How are you?
Hello, Doc.
Michael and I are happy. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to call in and tell everyone I appreciate this. I love doing it. It has become a passion, more so chasing the guests, but I have enjoyed it. Now, thank you very much for tonight.
Well, I can't thank
you
enough for actually allowing us to ask you to do it because, Marilyn, we both know that it's hard work, but it's a lot of fun. But, you know, thank you again for doing this out of the goodness of your heart. And let's hope maybe next year we can go ahead and be nominated for a few radio shows. I know there's a lot on radio shows.
Well,
Gina actually nominated us for a few of them.
Also want to say
that
I love working with you too and Mike Cullip. And I appreciate the teamwork and the rapport that we all have as a team.
I do too.
Speaking of Mike Cullip, Marilyn, don't go anywhere because I think Mike Cullip is on the line. So
okay. We've
got everybody in the house tonight. Hi, Mike.
Hey. It's
hey,
three
buddy.
Of my favorite people in the whole world. Let me just say, I love Misa Marbin.
I have
Mar-
still
I know.
Do not love her.
Mike Cullip has beautiful dimples. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Kim's so lucky. We love Kim, too. Kim, by the way, for those of you that are listening who don't know that's kind of in on our little family is Mike's wife, and she's absolutely lovely herself. So, Mike, I'm excited that you're representing At Home with Victoria and you're going to New York for the Indy Soap Awards.
Wow, you are. I'm really excited. I get to hang out with, oh my gosh, I can't even name the list of people, but two really quick people, Michael Kay, of course.
Of course.
You know, my brother.
Absolutely.
And Steve Silverman and the entire cast of Pretty. I'm just so excited about that.
Oh, yeah, we got Steve Silverman, we got Dee Freeman, we have Stacey McQueen, we have Michael Taylor Gray that's going to be there. I believe the Velvet Candy people are going to be there, plus Anthony Anderson from Anacostia is going to be there with his troupe of fantastic-looking individuals. The list is endless, and we're going to have so – New York will not know what will happen to it when we arrive.
When the At Home with Victoria crew gets there.
Absolutely.
Eminem.
Mike, I don't know if you heard me when I was saying that one thing when Michael Kay told me that you had accepted to go with him to represent and to work with him for At Home with Victoria. I was saying, I don't know if you heard that, but that's one thing that I love about our show is that we're able to give opportunities to other people because, I mean, you probably would have never thought, you know, I mean, or maybe you would have in your life that you would get to do kind of like cool stuff and sort of become a journalist and reporter, producer, and camera guy and all that stuff for the show.
No way. I would have never thought. And, you know, it's amazing. And one of the things that I really like about this show is the fact that it's so giving and, you know, we try to, all of us, especially you and Michael, but to give back and recognize those who are less fortunate. So it's just a great atmosphere.
Well, I'm telling all of you this right now that that there has been a few, and I guess now is a good time since kind of the core folks are here tonight in the chat room and with us on the line. There have been a few producers that have listened to our show that have emailed me, and they love the show and they love what it is that we're doing. So with that said, I've been actually thinking about, because people have been sort of bugging me about it, contacting a few talent agencies. And talent agencies are the ones that you contact that can kind of help you get your name out there more and to help, you know, for example, when you see contributors and stuff on CNN and different news stations to kind of get us out there more. So what's exciting about that is that now, for example, so Mar, I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, I, of course, can't be everywhere and do everything. So it's exciting about kind of having core people on board. Let's say, for example, there's an interview that somebody wants to do with At Home with Victoria that I get to have, you know, Michael, who can be in front of the camera, who can speak. You know, Mar can do radio. I know you wouldn't be afraid to do that. You know, Mike, if there's an interview or something in D.C. where, you know, there's for example, let's say, for example, Entertainment Tonight is doing something, an issue on women or on bands or something, and they contact us and say, hey, do you have somebody who wants to join the conversation? The same thing that we do every night on the show. So I'm excited about that. So I just wanted to kind of tease you guys with that to let you know that literally – you know, as stuff happens for me, it really isn't just me anymore. I mean, it is all of us, and I really, really do mean that.
Oh,
well,
good.
She is a tease, I will have to say, because now I'm intrigued in Victoria, you rock.
I'm not going to tell you who the producers are. Two of them are out of New York, and there is another producer that I know in Washington, So I'm basically at a point now where I constantly am having people in the TV industry that are emailing me saying, you know, you guys need to take this to the next level. This is a great show. You really have something there. So,
well, good. And also, I just want to go ahead and make mention, I think maybe a couple of us knows, but At Home with Victoria now has grown leaps and bounds in this last year. Now we're actually trending around 200,000 listeners in 16 countries. Doing the research was actually really quite cool. So we're hitting people like people in Antarctica, Belize, Italy. So we're, I think, kind of official international. And plus, there's not thousands. You know, there may be 34 in Belize, but that's 34 in Belize that didn't know us last
year.
So quite frankly, you know, hands up to all of us. So I couldn't have I couldn't have been more prouder of joining the show, Vic, and I can't be happier to be working with Marilyn and Mike on the future of At Home with Victoria. I want to thank the both of you for committing, and I really want to thank Les Stritt for coming on and actually saying, hey, if there's ever a story you want to
know
the inside scoop, I know.
You guys,
that's what you do, Victoria. We just hammer them to the wall while they're here.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Mar and Michael and Mike Cullen, that was really big for him to say, hey, you know, if you want me to come back on, if there's a show on Inside Edition to discuss it, because, like, I mean, I know within the world of journalism, like, how big Les is. I mean, like, he's not a small potato. I mean, he's like, you know, he's up there in the level in terms of journalism, and I know he can go wherever he wants to, but I know how much he loves that news magazine format that he does there for Inside Edition. So what's also fun is that, for example, let's say all of us are in New York, you know, it would be nothing for us to, you know, for me to call him and say, hey, you know, we're in New York, can we come by the station to see you? So it would be fun, you know, to take a tour of Inside Edition, to see him in person and say hello, because he's definitely that type of person. If he's not out on a story and he's there in the studio, he would love for us to come by. So isn't that fabulous?
Fantastic, yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's lovely.
So anyway, we've got about, a couple of minutes left, so I think all of us can leave at the same time so you guys don't hang up. What song should we end with? Well, hey, I always give Michael Kay a choice. So since it's kind of Marilyn's night and we officially made her the producer, Marilyn Bennett, is there any particular artist within our repertoire that you like to listen to? Shelley Rand. Who do we got, Michael?
I got Shelley Rand. You know, let's end with some Anna Johnson with Someday. I mean, I think it's indicative and beautiful. I want to thank everybody up in chat. I want to thank Don Quinn, Gina from California, Marby, again, congratulations on official producing. Your life will become hell in about a week and a half. My brother from another mother on the phone, and Sandy from Nebraska. I can't thank you all enough for listening. But until next time, let's go ahead and play Anna Johnson Someday.
All right, and I want to thank everybody so much for taking the time. And our guest who is gone, and again, who left Albany, New York, and who's headed back to Manhattan, Les Trent, senior correspondent for Inside Edition. So make sure, guys, you check him out on his show. Here's Anna Johnson with Someday.
Four. Yeah. Oh, not your average, everyday kind of girl. She walks along alone on the highway, opens up her guitar case to sing. Glad to meet you, here I am. She says sometimes when it rains I cancel my plans, catch all the drops in my hands. Listen to the beat, life can be so sweet, yeah. Yeah. Magazines with torn up pages, old jeans with holes. She's worn for days, but who cares? It's okay. Someday she'll be on the big stage, singing about those rainy days, singing songs and blowing clouds away, far away. She knows that someday. Ooh, someday her dreams will come.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.